Three, two, one, and we're live. I'm Ansh.
I'm Shrikar.
I don't know if we're saying our name. It's doing it anyway. This is Football Mezzanine. welcome back to episode 31. We're back with another hype episode with Premier League, Champions League, Ronaldo's return.
Yo, it's a big week. It's a big week for football.
Hype week, yeah.
Champions League's back, finally, after that dull international break. We had the PL.
It was a pretty hype international break, but yeah.
Okay, fine.
It was. And Tristan's also back this week.
Woo.
Yeah.
School Hell week's over.
He sounds so dead, but he's back.
School bent me over, but I made it through.
Woo.
Yeah. Good thing you didn't finish that sentence. But anyway, let's start with a recap of the Premier League.
Especially after talking about Ronaldo.
Yikes. We'll hold that thought.
This week was fun. This week was fun in the Prem. I mean, we started off with a cracker.
Chelsea.
I mean, yeah.
No, Chelsea United wasn't the... it was the start.
It was the start of the week, yeah.
Sorry.
Started off with the mint of a game.
Yeah. I mean, 2-2. It was a really fire game. And I was just happy for my boy Martial, even though I'm a City fan. I love Martial.
Yeah, I was just happy both teams dropped points. I mean, United's kind of irrelevant right now, but still.
Yeah, United isn't really a contender, so... I was just happy...
Yeah, but I mean, against Man U, I find they always, even if they play shitty throughout the season, they generally play well against us. And as a draw, I am happy with the draw, honestly, for that. I would have preferred a win, obviously, but the draw I'm happy with.
Tristan is speaking from a Chelsea perspective, by the way, just so anyone...
even from a Man U perspective, a draw for them, that's a good thing against a side that's in form, so...
Before the game, you would have said that, but during the game, because they conceded last minute, they would probably be, like, a bit more hurt with the draw.
Oh, like, if you're speaking specifically game-wise. Yeah, not season-wise. Yeah. Especially with that, like, injury time goal kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But, okay, I just want to get your guys' thoughts on that. What did you think of the whole post-match celebration thing that the Chelsea coach did in front of Mourinho's face?
Oh, so we're getting to the Mourinho issue. My thoughts on this are pretty simple. I think it was completely disrespectful of what the assistant coach, Michael Lannini or something like that, or Michael Lannini. I'm assuming he's Italian.
There we go.
But
I was going to call you out on it. There you go.
Dude, Conte's not the manager anymore. Relax.
But I'm assuming Michael Lannini. Yeah, anyways, either way, like, I think it was completely and utterly disrespectful. For anyone who didn't know, I'm pretty sure he said, like, he passed Mourinho and then said fuck off to him, basically. And
Sarri is still Italian, though, Shrikar, even though Conte's not
there. Yeah, true. And so I'm assuming his
Maurizio Sarri.
But either way, Mourinho loses his mind, goes and chases after him. Security kind of gets involved and makes sure they don't, I don't know, start slapping each other and backhanding each other, but however... they fight
completely on Mourinho's side. Me too.
Yeah, I'm on Mourinho's side, especially. I mean, he 100%. Did so much for Chelsea. To be fair though,
I didn't. I mean, emotions run high, guys. It's just, it's kind of.
It does.
I'm reluctant to say part of the game, but.
Okay, that's not part of the game.
No, I said I'm reluctant to say it's part of the game. Because
if you see the actual video.
Yeah, I saw the video. I watched it live. I'm just like, it was entertaining. So entertaining. It felt like I'm watching Khabib McGregor again.
Celebrating. Okay. What?
I mean, just...
Fair enough. I mean, David Luiz with that thumping. Anyway. But, no, but like, okay, celebrating hard is part of the game, but celebrating purposefully in front of the guy's face and like...
I mean, the first time he did it, it was fine. The second time, yeah, I kind of agree with you guys. He kind of overdid it.
So the celebration, like, I don't know. He just kind of ran by and celebrate. If it was just that, that's fine. Mourinho's done it more than enough times where he freaking runs up and down the sidelines. But the whole point is the whole fuck off part. I think that's completely uncalled for. Not necessary. Now, who knows? Maybe Mourinho somehow did something earlier on to piss him off, but it doesn't seem like it. Kind of came out of the blue. So I think it's disrespectful on that part. Anyways, he's update, Michael Lannini has been charged with like game misconduct or like something along those lines. Anyways, the FA's charged him, so.
Okay, well, and right after the game ended too, I don't know if you guys saw, but Mourinho, when he walked off, he did this to the Chelsea supporters as he walked off. He waved three fingers.
Oh yeah.
He's like for the three times.
Premier League titles,
yeah. Yeah, for the three Premier League titles, yeah.
He was reminding them, like, look, I'm still here. And then after the game, Sarri was asked about it, and then he's like, yeah, I mean, he's right. We got to respect him. He's the most successful Chelsea coach.
Yeah.
He never seems to forget that.
I was going
to
say, also, apparently, Michael Lannini apologized to Mourinho as well, and Mourinho said it, that he kind of he accepted it because he said even when he was young that he did things that kind of like heat of the moment and that he probably shouldn't have, so...
You have to say it like that every single time now.
I don't know.
Every single time.
I'm already all in.
Hey, again, it's just like the Conor Khabib fight. Conor didn't press charges, and neither did Mourinho, you know?
Conor didn't press charges?
Conor did not press charges.
Oh, for the post-fight
thing.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I was like, of course you don't press charges. It's a fight. Anyway,
did you guys think it was a draw? Like, let's talk about the actual game. I mean, based on the game, I thought...
Chelsea played pretty poorly, especially in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, Hazard wasn't on form, kind of. He was kind of, like...
So...
He was... United always do a good job of shackling Hazard, except when they don't, because they didn't last year. But...
Thanks, Michael Owen. Thanks.
Yeah, pretty accurate. That's like FIFA commentary right there. Anyway, like Mourinho started Herrera at one point to man-mark Hazard out of the game. I think it was 2 years ago. I'm sure you remember. But this time, United actually played like a really, really attacking lineup. It was surprising, you know? Yeah. He went with Mata, Rashford, Martial, Lukaku, Pogba. And Matic was like the only defensive one in there.
So all their big stars?
Except Alexis.
Yeah, Sanchez was not playing.
I stand by my comment. All their big stars.
Okay, gotcha.
Gotcha.
Season-wise, I think it was a good result for both teams. Game-wise, probably Man U should be a little bit more pissed that they didn't get the win.
Yeah, I guess so.
Fair enough.
But what's surprising to me, again, like how they were able to play such an attacking lineup, and Chelsea are a really, really potent attacking force this year.
Wasn't it David Luiz that was claiming that they played defensively? I thought I remember seeing that in the...
No, I didn't see that one.
In the news,
But they don't. Like, they play... They've changed how they play drastically and so quickly.
I think he was speaking specifically about that game.
Maybe. I mean, they would have to, considering United left so many players up. And it was just... The fact that they were able to play only Matic in that defensive midfield position and still, like, restrict Chelsea's attacking play is, like, so strange to me, especially at Stamford Bridge.
Mourinho's good tactically.
Credit... Like, yeah, credit to Mourinho.
Say what you will, he's very good tactically at like shutting teams down that are better than them.
But thing is, he usually does that with like a proper bus, but I don't even think he played that defensively.
Proper bus.
Proper Blaine. But he didn't even do that this game, so it was an interesting contrast.
No,
you know?
Yeah.
He started playing more attacking in bigger games now. I don't know if you guys have seen the trend, but over the past year, he's not really parked the bus, if you notice. We like to say it, but he stopped doing that to an extent.
Maybe that's why they're doing so poorly.
That's what he liked to
say.
Start
parking the bus again.
Look, this is why I do it.
The only other comment I wanted to make from that game was Barkley. Again, I mean, wasn't like a great goal, but either way, he's been so on form.
He's full of confidence now.
Yeah, so on form.
Yeah. It's good. Like,
must be because you removed
those
tattoos.
Yeah. Oh, I guess if we're going to mention that. So Barkley apparently removed his sleeve of Everton tattoo from his arm. And hold up. I'm going to pull up the quote on here because it's too great. It's just, he doesn't even pull punches. So starting quote, "My first tattoo when I was 14, I was a bit young, like... I was a big lad, so they didn't question my age at the time."
I was a big lad.
Yeah. And then he goes on to say, I got them at a young age, and sometimes when you're young, you do stupid things and don't think about it. End quote.
Rip Everton.
But yeah, I guess the tattoo had like the number of the date that he started his first game for them.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Anyways, he removed it.
Why would you remove it, though, unless you, like...
Honestly, I'm surprised he removed it, too. I guess he really had a bad time there.
Or maybe he just doesn't like tattoos anymore.
No, he said right after that he would potentially get another tattoo with his kids or something.
Oh,
oh, he has kids?
I don't know if he has kids or he meant, like, future kids, but either way. That just shows how low he thinks of everything.
What's your next tattoo going to be? Oh, my future kids.
What should be just, like, a stick figure with, like, a smiley face that you see on the back of the cars?
Just like, think, no, you see like one of those with like the names in the heart, like two names in a heart. It's like, oh, look, those are my future kids. It's like, oh, okay.
Thing is, I don't want to throw everything completely under the bus because, I mean, he was with Antonio Conte, didn't get the results either. So I feel like it's more credit to Sarri, if anything. So I feel like a lot of managers probably wouldn't have been able to get the results out of him that he is doing now. Or maybe it's just a right time, right place, right coach kind of thing. But either way, I mean, it's way too much to throw all on Everton. I think he needs to take up a whole bunch of the onus as well.
Yeah, I agree.
Responsibility.
And he has done.
Moving
just like Luke
to
Shaw
the
this
next
season.
Game.
And
yeah, let's
Marcel.
Get on to the next game here.
West Ham, sure, Tottenham, sure, sure. 1-0. Again, Tottenham punching out these 1-0 victories, staying on par with the other London clubs.
I don't know what to say.
It's
crazy because
West Ham
it's their best
me.
Start. It's their best start to an EPL season, and they're fifth.
And it's all, yeah, exactly. It's the best start to like almost every other club's EPL season in the top four as well.
This is
so
sad. Yeah. Alexa, play Despacito.
Alexa or Alexis?
No, yeah. So it's their Champions League season is pretty much done, but Premier League wise, Spurs are, like you said, punching out results, but I don't see them winning the title this year, which is, again, like, just testament to how good the other teams are, not how poor Spurs are.
Definitely can't win it.
Sorry?
They definitely shouldn't be winning it this year. And Chelsea shouldn't be winning it either.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
This is a Liverpool-Man City race.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't see them winning it, but it's just... It kind of sucks for them because they're doing so well, yet they're not even close.
I wouldn't be surprised if next summer they get raided. I think they're going to be raided very soon. I've been waiting for basically the year that they get raided, and so far I'm surprised they've been able to push everything off. But I feel like Eriksen's probably going to get pulled to La Liga at one point, or potentially
Harry
Kane as well.
I mean, it's up to the players, isn't it? Because at one point... They've been with the same spine of players for the past, like, 4 or 5 years.
They got loyal players.
Kane, Ali... Sorry?
They got loyal players.
They do. But, like, for the players' sake, they should move on and fucking win some trophies.
I don't know. I think... I have a feeling that they might leave when Pochettino leaves. So, I mean, as long as he's there, they might be able to hang on to everyone. Some players are pretty loyal. I mean, look at Steven Gerrard. He stayed with Liverpool all that time, and he should have left.
I think that era is gone, honestly.
I don't think
no,
it's
no, there's players
gone.
Every single generation that stay for the whole entirety.
Yeah.
There's always going to be those players. They just come every once in a while.
Who, like, okay, like, look at today's clubs. Who is really like that today, you know, like, for Arsenal,
Messi.
All their mate. Okay. But that's because he's actually winning trophies. Why would he leave? Gerrard stayed even though Liverpool were shit.
Yeah,
and
yeah, they
that's the real.
Yeah, I agree.
I Stricker agrees. So, and like, that's the kind of loyalty.
Yeah,
which
but was
I don't
Gerrard an
remains.
Academy player? Like, are we talking about academy or players that are coming in like after?
Gerrard was an academy player. He was with the club since age, I think. 7.
No, what I'm saying is like, are we? It's like a loyalty starting from academy, or is it just starting from like a young age?
No,
where
I
they
think we
with
can
it and then
shift loyalty to club from like young age now, I guess. Because
like, you could call like Yaya Toure, David Silva, Aguero like legends of Man City. And
like Aguero has basically been at Man City forever.
A decade now.
Yeah, so
much.
Like I would say, and he's going to end there, I think. So
not
right there, that's like, that's a generation
like,
player.
8-7 years
like
sorry,
if Hazard re-signs a new contract again, generation for Chelsea kind of thing, like there's a lot of players that could kind of thing, like it
that's
you,
true
looking
the
at Bayern there's
winning
a bunch
trophies
of Bayern players
and
that are
there.
Like that too
what loyalty really means though is you stay there without winning trophies, and I don't know if that still happens.
Look at Tottenham.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If they stay, then fair enough. You know, they if Kane stays his entire career at Spurs, then yeah, you know what? Fair enough. But if he decides to leave, then like
my main thing is
I think personally good for him.
I don't think this is a solely generation thing. It's you can almost put the same argument to like the best players of the world. Like people were like, "Oh, Maradona's the best. No one's gonna come in after him." And then you get Messi, Ronaldo, and then we're gonna have players that will come after them as well. Like Mbappe, I mean, he's just destroying. He'll probably be the next Messi, Ronaldo, right? But then there's probably some more that we're not gonna see that are gonna pop up as well. So I think it's the same thing. It'll just apply to loyalty. I mean, you're gonna get some in every generation. It's not like it's a uniqueness.
Maybe. If Kane stays, then yeah, fair enough. But if not, I don't see anyone else right now who's world-class and not really close to winning trophies in the EPL. And actually, there's a bunch. What am I saying?
Maybe there is, though, a less loyalty thing as a result
like,
of, like...
Credit to Jordan Henderson for staying at Liverpool for so long, even though he's clearly destined
for Real Madrid.
Are you forgetting
Dejan Lovren, world's best defender?
Man, I feel so bad for him. He deserves Real Madrid.
Yo, Lovren's actually been scouted by Barca. Not even kidding.
That's transfer rumors. That is so gotta be transfer rumors. Maybe they went there to scout someone else, and Lovren's like, guys, they're here for me.
There's only one.
They came for Firmino, too. So there's that.
Firmino's a Barca player. I can see him.
No, I can see that too.
Shut up. No.
Eriksen is, if anything. Take Eriksen. Don't rate
Eriksen. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Eriksen.
They took Suarez. Eriksen's they took world-class. Coutinho. Let us have Firmino, please.
Anyway, let's move on, even though we didn't even cover the game.
1-0. There you go. You're covered.
Man City versus Burnley.
Oh,
what a beautiful game. Beautiful
again.
Game.
5-0.
So, Joe Hart returned to the Etihad this week, and...
Gets a pitch renamed
Man City,
for him.
Yeah, Man City are like, we should probably do something for him. So, they took an old training pitch, and they named it after him. So,
that was nice. That was very nice of them.
No, it was actually a nice gesture, yeah. You're right. And I'm glad they did it, because
they didn't
really
to
get
at
the
all.
Best... Yeah, and he didn't get the best send-off because Pep just came in and he kind of had to leave.
Yeah, Pep can be an asshole to certain players when he axes you. He just kind of like...
Oh, yeah.
...completely throws you on the fringe and ostracizes you.
Yeah.
Regardless of what you did for the club prior kind of thing.
Yeah. And it was... Yeah, it wasn't good for Joe. But I'm happy to see he's doing well at another team again, man. Like, he came into Burnley with Nick Pope, Tom Heaton, someone else too, I forget. But he's made it his own, like, the number one jersey, which is good. And none of the goals were his fault in the 5-0. What else? Kevin De Bruyne came back. So we're back at full strength, pretty much.
I mean, you guys had five goals, five different players, I mean.
Exactly.
Yeah. That just shows how cohesive your team is.
Yeah. That's the mark of a quality team.
Sané, too.
I was kind of worried.
Hasn't Sané been having a rough summer? Or rough season?
He had a rough summer, but he's kind of rebounding. No, not a rough season. He just had a rough summer because he didn't go to the World Cup.
Oh.
But then the first couple of games, Pep left him out. I remember that. But he's pretty much back now.
Oh, okay.
He's playing well. I've 3 goals conceded all season, plus something ridiculous goal difference. I feel like we're playing even better than last season. It's insane.
I know, but also
really
you have to see that you haven't played... all the teams in the top, like, you only played 2. You played Arsenal and you played, like, us. Really just us, because Arsenal were in the beginning of the season.
Which is 2 out of 8, which is, like, pretty fair. Sorry, 2 out of 9.
Yeah, also if you just look at top 6, so 2 out of 5. You still have to face Chelsea. I think the first real test for you guys will be Chelsea. Or maybe even United.
I don't know, man. Liverpool at Anfield is a pretty fucking big test.
Yeah.
You can't say that's not a test. Yeah. And Arsenal at Emirates is not an easy game.
But that was their first game of the season with Emery, right? So you can't
I feel like you could keep coming up with excuses like this.
I don't know. I just feel like I haven't seen, City being, tested well enough in the league.
They played Liverpool.
I agree with you, but I think that's because of our really intelligent play rather than being good enough.
Pep's just lulling everyone into a false sense of security, and then the latter half he's gonna be like, all right boys, let's go out and crush them. 5-0's nothing.
Because
you guys play United on the 11th of November.
Well, okay, our next game is Wembley. Tottenham at Wembley. So
no, it's not.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
Oh, it is.
Speaking of,
so
speaking of, that stadium has been pushed back, and they're asking for another $100 million, I think, from their their investors. Another that thing's a shit show for Tottenham right now.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, they're extending it. They're asking for another £100 million. Like, this is ridiculous. I think they're just gonna screw themselves more.
Yeah, that's not good for their transfers and where money goes in the future.
They were supposed to they were supposed to be in that stadium by the beginning of the season, I think.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the only reason they're asking for the $100 million is because they're so far behind, apparently, on construction.
Yeah. Tottenham returns to White Hart Lane next season without any seats, but
here you go, construction guys. You're fucking the stadium up. Here's another $100 million. Hopefully you can go a little quicker.
Buy some more coke for themselves too while they're at it.
Yeah. Whoa, okay. Apparently the construction workers have just been doing coke all day, which is great.
It is called White Hart Lane for a reason, Ange.
Well, is the new stadium also called White Hart?
No.
The new one isn't called.
No, I think the new one's called White Hart Lane until they get a sponsor.
I thought it's just called
Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Oh, they're selling out their stadium name?
I thought it was just called Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
See, I actually had respect for football. They were one of the few sports where a decent amount of them at least haven't sold out their stadium name. Whereas, like, hockey and everything else has all done that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, it's so much money.
Yeah, White Hart Lane was the old one, mate.
Oh, so they've renamed it to Tottenham Hotspur Stadium?
Pretty sure.
Until they find a sponsor, though, I'm fairly sure.
Actually, maybe it's still called White Hart Lane. You know what? Fuck.
Who cares about Spurs?
All right, moving on.
True.
What do we got next?
Okay. What we got? We got Liverpool Huddersfield.
Oh man, what a boring. Oh. Oh.
Coming from the Liverpool fan too.
Dude, so, it was.
You know what's interesting?
Boring.
You know what's interesting though is, if last season you would have a game like this,
we'd have lost it.
Right now, you would be like, oh my god, I almost had a heart attack that game. I can't believe we survived. But the difference this season is you guys look so solid defensively that you can just be like, yo, that's
I mean, boring. 6 clean sheets, 3 goals conceded in 9 games. That's the best we've ever seen.
It's incredible improvement.
It's all because of your change of philosophy. Like, in the media recently, I think Klopp kind of like spoke to, I guess, the press.
Let's talk about the dog bone?
Yeah, the dog bone.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, Klopp's bone. So, I guess what happened was he was referring to the playing style previously last year where it was like a high attacking press, and this year where they're a little more on the defensive side. And he's saying like they're like a dog without their bone. Like they just want their bone. They just want to go back to the high attacking press, but they need to learn new things kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like a dumb analogy, but
I mean, she's pretty stupid.
At least it's something.
Fair enough. What do you have to say about that, Shriek, our resident Liverpool fan?
No, I mean, I agree, it's fair. We haven't been seeing the front three click like for the last like god knows how long. We've been saying game after game, oh, next game the front three is gonna click, oh, the next game they're gonna click, but I mean,
it hasn't really happened. Of the table.
Yeah. That's the thing. We're grinding out results. We're grinding out results.
Huge testament.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Van Dijk, Gomez, the entire back line has been fantastic, and we can see that it's been money, you know, well spent. Yes, it takes this thing out of our attack.
Van Dijk is the only one you really spent money on. The rest of them are next to nothing.
I mean,
Gomez,
Allison,
Lovren. Bro. I mean, yeah, but Allison hasn't even. I can't remember him making a fucking save.
No, yeah, there was one save in the Chelsea game that was pretty good.
Yeah, but like you know what I mean, right?
No, I know. If you look at the combined you know cost of our back four, then yeah, sure, almost nothing.
It's not almost nothing because Van Dijk himself
Van Dijk alone.
But like, he's the only one that you've really had to spend on to really sort everything out. Because he's such a leader.
Didn't Liverpool break record for Van Dijk for most expensive defense and very shortly most expensive goalkeeper with Allison?
Yep.
Yep.
And so, then
I mean,
Chelsea broke
it. Amount. Yeah. On Kepa. I think it'll pay off eventually.
No, I think, like, we're bound to score goals. Like, come on. It's bound to happen. Hopefully. Please.
Oh, man.
Please.
No, don't worry. I think you guys will be fine.
Hey, Salah broke his duck, so he scored. That's good. That's always good.
Yeah, but he still looked kind of rusty.
Dude, our entire team looks rusty, but we're getting wins, and that's all that matters.
Yep. Yeah. Honestly, if you just keep up the form, continue to win, it doesn't really matter at the end, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's how Mourinho justifies parking the bus.
Yeah.
But they don't really park the bus. It's a different sort of grind. It's
yeah. No, I wasn't midfield saying Liverpool pressing. Park the bus.
No, yeah. Okay, gotcha.
It's more like a plane.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Okay. They don't park anything. Okay.
They parked the van. The Van Dyke. Come on, that was pretty good.
Oh, that was terrible. That was brutal. All right, perfect time to move on. Next game.
Okay.
Oh, this one was today's game. Oof.
Beautiful. So game. Good. So
were you referring to Arsenal?
Dude.
Yeah.
When they scored that third goal, oh my god.
That was
so good.
Oh.
About time Ozil did something.
Yeah.
Yikes.
No freaking time.
I agree. I completely agree. But... I mean, Emery made him captain of the team, which is, whoa.
I don't know.
Ozil captain? I would not have thought that.
The thing
but
is,
man, he took it so well.
My whole point on captain is it's not necessarily your best player. It probably shouldn't just be given to your best player. It should be given to someone who's a leader. Generally, exactly. It's more of a defensive player. That's why it more often is common to like defense. But it's someone who kind of like leads the team, speaks up, gets everyone kind of like in the right mindset. And if Mesut Ozil does that, then props to him. But at the same time, I hope Emery just didn't give it to him
because he's been there so long. He's the complete opposite of a captain. Like, when you think of a stereotypical captain, I don't think of Ozil. Because Ozil is quiet. He's not... He doesn't run too much. He doesn't tackle. Yeah. I'm just being so critical right now.
But he gets a lot of salary.
But having said that, what a performance he put in when he was given the captain's armband.
About time.
That was probably the best I've ever seen him play.
Maybe that's why it was given to him. Hopefully this turns him into something.
I mean, and it did. It worked.
It worked very, very well.
Bro, that was like... That reminded me of the Wilshire goal.
Yeah.
The Arsenal classic Wilshire goal. It was so good.
I mean, Arsenal scored a fantastic team goal on the last weekend against Fulham, too.
Fulham,
with Ramsey.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and they're firing on all cylinders right now.
What's going on, Arsenal? Bring back Wenger, please. Bring back Wenger.
What? Oh, as a Liverpool fan, you say that.
Yes.
Oh, gotcha. I get you. Well, that's to say.
But actually, we'll get into more of a little bit more depth with what Arsenal has changed this season at the end of the video. Or in a different video if you guys are watching the specific segment on YouTube.
Just another props. But, Lacazette, 2 goals in this one. Or Aubameyang. Aubameyang, yeah. Yeah, my bad.
You scared me.
Oh, yeah, I get the mixed
fantasy
up.
Team. Yeah.
They're both that fast, pacey striker at the front.
Yeah. Who scored for Leicester again?
It was Hector Bellerin.
Oh, yeah, it was an own goal.
Oh, yeah.
That was Leicester's goal.
True. Okay.
Yo, when they score, I'm like, oh, here we go. Ours is going to lose again. But no, not to happen this time. Oh, well.
No, I don't do that this year anymore. I'm like, they're good, man.
Too bad about Leicester. They've just been
credit
going
downhill. To Emery.
Yeah. I mean, now we have Arsenal in fourth. Their favorite position.
Arsenal's close, too. They're not far off.
Arsenal, Chelsea, Tottenham,
they're tied
London
for third.
Clubs.
Yeah, they're all tied for third.
Ridiculous.
And 2 points from first.
Yeah. Arsenal are 2 points off the top of the
meanwhile,
table,
Man
boys.
U all the way at 14.
14? 10.
Yeah. Oh.
14 okay. points. 14 points.
14 points. 14
yeah, yeah.
points.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, 14 points.
Goal difference of -1.
Yeah,
nice.
That's pretty bad. Man City, 23. Plus minus.
Yeah. I'm very confident in Man City again. At the start of the season, I was thinking Liverpool
are more
equipped than we are. Because, I don't know, we started the season sort of unconvincingly.
I mean, all it takes is a 5-0 against Cardiff next week, and we're back on goal difference.
No. You need to score 10.
I know. I mean, close enough. 5 is still manageable. 10 is like, oof.
Anyway.
All right, let's move on, guys.
Let's move on to... Let's get away from the Premier League and talk about the Champions League for a second. Ooh. Because Chris Smalling and Victor Lindelof are about to come up against Cristiano Ronaldo, and I cannot wait.
Do you think Ronaldo's going to score? I think he's going to score.
Oh, definitely. He's been doing well at Juventus.
Is this, is this at Old Trafford?
Yes, sir.
Oh, bless, bro. Bless. You remember last time? I don't know if you remember that game, but it was in 2012. Mm-hmm. It was the last Champions League game of Ferguson's era. Oh. And Real Madrid came to Old Trafford and knocked Manchester United out.
Yeah.
And Nani got a red card.
Oh, I remember. Was that with the high boot?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. And Ferguson blamed the ref. And I mean, it was the ref's fault, actually. It was a terrible decision. And this is... Yeah, Ronaldo came back, and this time Ronaldo's back too. So,
I think Juventus are going to give them a mauling, unless Jose parks the bus.
I don't know if Juventus is going to destroy them, but I am very fearful for Man U. Juventus is a very solid team all around, and now they're quite offensively attacking.
This season.
Yeah, but it's the Serie A. I mean, they basically have that locked up every year anyways. Like, yeah, they're on fine form, but... Yeah, anyways, they got a great team.
It's not a terrible league. Like, actually, no, they haven't won every game. Sorry, they drew the last one.
I mean, still undefeated.
But, I mean, they've been beating the good teams, too, man. They beat Valencia away. They beat Napoli.
Okay. I thought you were talking about Juventus. The teams in Serie A.
No.
I'm like, what good teams are left in there?
Napoli.
Yeah, I guess. The Italian teams have been struggling for a while. For the past years kind of thing compared to like their former glory,
but I still feel like Mourinho has like this ace up his sleeve.
Yeah, I know, right?
And
always
it's just gonna be such an intriguing game, even though we're all like, oh, Juventus is gonna win. I don't know
they've been on good form. They have the all-around like depth in like from defense all the way to forward. I mean, they're strong offensively at the front now too. I mean, they were before, but with Ronaldo, it adds that. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to... Manu's not going to be blown out of the water, but I think Juventus will win either way kind of thing.
They should
win. I'm confident in that.
They should win.
They should, yes.
Like, any logical thought would say Juventus.
But that's only because of Manu's form. Like, again, if you look at stats of both teams, or like player overalls, Manu should be just as much on equal or par with them kind of thing.
Yeah, but...
It's just
with the way they've been playing.
Yeah, it's just the form. The form is just—it's not there.
Even player-wise, I'd say Juventus are better, man. Like, yeah. You just compare their defense, and then like,
yeah. Are you kidding me? I wouldn't say it's far off, though.
Chiellini, Bonucci, nowhere close to United's defense.
Chris Smalling, bro.
Chris Smalling, Phil Jones.
Yeah, like defensively, I wouldn't. Man U, I think that's probably where their weaker side is on defense, but other than 100%. That, I mean, you look at their offense and midfield, they're fine.
Are they, though? I'd say Juventus's midfield is far better than United's midfield.
Juventus has always had notoriously good midfields. They've always had incredible midfields. And offense is always where they've been a little on kind of the lacking side of always down, but now, I mean, with Dybala and Ronaldo.
Ronaldo, Mandzukic, Dybala, even like that's Mandzukic way above Lukaku. And co, but I mean, they are on form. The front three of Man United are sort of all on form right now. Maybe not Lukaku so much.
Lukaku's
but
been
Rashford,
on form, yeah.
Martial. Rashford has been on form for England, which is what I can say. So, I think it should be a really, really good game. I don't think Juventus will blow Man United out of the water. I think it should be an intriguing game.
Interesting.
And it would be really cool if Pogba scores against Juventus and Ronaldo scores against United.
That would make it... Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously, the most obvious stories that could come out of it, but... yeah. Any predictions?
Real Madrid's going to lose against Plzen, or however you say that.
I was talking about the United game. Any predictions, or...
Yeah, but I wanted to get that out there.
Yeah, Juve 3, United 1.
Juve 3, United 1?
Yeah.
Okay. It's at home, by the way, for United.
No, I know. That's why I said 3-1.
Okay. Fair enough. Tristan?
3-2.
What do you think?
3-2, Juventus.
3-2.
Okay, that's closer.
Yeah, you know what? Part of me is thinking that it's going to be a low-scoring game, but I don't know.
I think low scoring is going to be high scoring. So
I think Man U is going to have to go all out on this to try and take Juventus. So I think it's going to be around a 3-2.
I'm going to go for a 1-1.
That's fair. That's probably a pretty good guess.
Okay.
What are the other big games?
That should be so exciting.
Well, Plzen's gonna rock Real Madrid.
Bro, if Victoria Pilsen beat Real Madrid...
Madrid has been so poor. Like, Levante beat them.
They've lost, like, the past 6 games. Haven't they not scored
in, like, ages?
They finally scored, but they
lost. See, that was the thing... That was the recording that we did, which didn't go through. I think we talked about Real Madrid, how it was their worst season, like, so long, and they haven't, like, won a game in forever kind of thing. Yeah. I don't know if that's still current, but... I mean, either way, they've been in such bad form. There's huge rumors about, like, Lopetegu already getting, like, fired after, what, like, 130 days? Or it's, like, 100 and something days. It's been, like, four months.
What a shitty year in the life of Lopetegu.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, sacked by Spain.
Guys, I'm so excited to take Spain to the World Cup.
Sacked by then
one day before the first game, gets sacked. Gets appointed as Real Madrid manager. Ronaldo leaves. Loses 6 games on the trot. Oh my god.
There's no reason either. There's absolutely no reason. They should not be that reliant on Ronaldo that they have to.
No, I think it's more of a psychological effect more than like a, you know.
I think it's a manager switch kind of thing. Yeah, I agree. I think it's a psychological effect. I think Zidane switching and Ronaldo leaving was a lot.
How much of a psychological effect can you have to lose against Levante and all these teams that they've been losing against and not score a single goal?
I don't know, but it's hilarious. Bullshit.
That's bullshit. That's not psychological. That's just you're fucking complacent. I step out of it.
I feel bad for Madrid. I mean, this is
I don't
this is brutal
screw
for
them.
I mean,
you see the video of Sergio Ramos kicking his own youth player today?
Yeah, that was bad.
What the fuck, mate?
Dude, Ramos has anger issues, bro.
Yeah, Ramos has always been kind of a dickwad.
Yeah,
he's a good player, but he's kind of an idiot. Kind of got like anger issues, and I mean
that's your captain.
That
kicking youth players, like
that's the player you want on a team, though. That's like aggressive out there, like that will go and give it his all. That's the player you want on a team.
Yeah, but not the captain, bro. Like he's like relaxed.
Okay, wait, hold on, Shrikar, if you could have Ramos at Liverpool, would you?
You better be saying yes. Especially with your name.
Maybe.
I mean,
all his fibers are trying to say no. All his fibers of his being.
There we go, right?
Ramos isn't that bad of a guy either.
Kind of like a Diego Costa situation.
Yeah.
He's a dick, but you'd probably have him in your team.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we had Suarez, so, yeah, why not?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But, yeah, they're in a huge fucking mess. And
also, big games.
Probably going to get sacked.
Yep, big games to look forward to in the Champions League weekend quickly.
You got
PSG,
Porto
Napoli
versus Lokomotiv Moscow.
Ooh, big,
thank you,
big
Tristan.
Game.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I aim to please.
Nice. Our podcast is now complete.
But, yeah, Atletico Dortmund. Barca, yeah. Inter Milan.
Messi got injured over the weekend, so he misses the El Clasico.
Yeah, he fractured his arm.
That was painful to watch. Like, I was like, no, thanks.
Oh, I didn't even watch it. I don't want to watch it.
Dude, his arm literally, like, twisted and... Like...
Stop.
Oh, see, now I want to go watch it.
No, it was pretty bad.
Two spectrums on this podcast.
But yeah, so a lot of interesting games coming up tomorrow and Wednesday, so make sure to check those out.
These are the champions. Yeah. Okay.
Clearly we're
hyped.
Yeah, we need to actually get someone who can sing well. Can we include that audio clip in? Is that
Shrikar when he's drunk? Shrikar when he's drunk? Yeah.
Yeah, man. Hit me up.
God. Yeah, man.
Alright, what's next? Because, I mean...
Okay, so We can cover a bunch of small stories right now, or we can do a deep dive.
Well, let's cover the small stories, and then let's go into the deep dive and finish it off.
Oh, both works.
So, I guess I'll bring up this one. Usain Bolt. If anyone was like me, was thinking, they're just... The Mariners, the Mariners for Australia are just trying to pick him up just for, like, publicity, press. Haven't signed him for a contract, but it'll be good to kind of get their image out there, their branding. And goes, plays this, I think, his first official game, scores two goals. And then right after there, gets contract offers. He got one from a side that's trying to get into Champions League, which he turned down. And now the...
What?
Yeah. There was a side that was trying...
Are you sure that's not just, like, tabloid bullshit?
No. That was a legitimate one. It wasn't the big club or, like, I can't even remember their team name. That's how small they were. But they were something that was...
Why on earth would he turn that down?
Anyways, he... I guess maybe more for loyalty out of the Mariners since they gave him the opportunity kind of thing. Either way...
Loyalty?
I don't know. Either way, Mariners actually offered him a contract. The thing is, the Australian League... I guess the A-League? It's the A-League, right?
I think so.
Yeah, so...
I mean, what anyways, else would it
be? They have the same concept as the MLS, where they have, like, a certain amount of players that they can help fund. The league actually helps fund to get them for money-wise. And I guess Usain Bolt, for some reason, wanted a buttload of money. But they said, no, they're not going to, for good reason. Because, I mean, he's still unproven.
He wanted a buttload of money, even though he's never played professionally before?
Yeah, yeah. So what happens, though, is the Mariners are offering him a contract, but... at significantly less compared to what he wanted. So whether he takes it or not, we'll see what happens. But, I mean, if he does take the contract, he can then officially say he's a professional football player, right?
Exactly.
Which, I mean, then goes on your resume. LinkedIn.
Exactly. Exactly.
Isn't he still being investigated for steroids, though?
I don't think he stayed out of loyalty, though. I mean, that would be pretty...
Isn't he still getting investigated for steroid use, though? Because he went from, like, being a zero at soccer to, like, crushing it.
It was just a drug test. That takes, like, 10 minutes, I think.
Was it just, like, a random, or was this, like, a specific hit on him? Because they're like, you scored two goals. Something's up. There's some shenanigans going on here.
I have no idea, honestly. I don't know the whole permutations and how they select people.
Yeah, but... it doesn't matter anyways, I guess. But, yeah, that's the update, at least, for the Usain Bolt news.
Yep. Is there anything else we want to cover before we want to get into the deep dive?
Story-wise, no. That was all I had, pretty much, on my end.
Okay, so before we wrap this up, we're just going to do a quick... this is our second deep dive, where we go into a club, a story, a manager, a player, a tactic, a thing of some sort, and we analyze it to death. And we talk about why it is the way that it is. And this time we're going to talk about... how crazy Arsenal's transformation has been from last year's desperate, horrible, pathetic displays week in, week out to their amazing displays week in, week out
with relatively,
this year. Despite,
no transfers, like any
with,
major.
Yeah.
So first with their thing, biggest transfer being their manager.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Also, despite it being really early in the season, so we know that it's a bit of sensationalism, but... We're going to talk about it.
See, I think the main thing that happened to Arsenal was, again, that mentality shift. You see, after 22 years with Wenger, they needed change. So, I mean, they brought in Emery. He got a full preseason first thing to work with. He had time to bring in his ideas. He had the players, because most of the players did not go for the World Cup. I think there was very few players from Arsenal who left.
Yeah, that's true.
Trigar, what do you mean by mentality shift? Because... I mean, the tactics that are
important
by the manager?
No, I mean just like psychologically, because for so long the media has been criticizing them, fans have been criticizing them for the last three, four years.
So right? You mean less of the cloud hanging
out? Yeah, less tactics and stuff like that. But I agree with you in a sense. I think that's a decent part of it. But I honestly put more to a just whole change of tactics and with Emery versus Arsene Wenger. I mean, there's only so far, I guess, the actual like change in the... manager can do, like, and it can do quite a bit, but I think a lot of it actually comes down to tactics. So I'm just trying to put more weight on Emery versus just like the mentality change.
One notable thing that I forget who was it said this, but a player recently came out and talked about the differences between the two managers and their styles.
I think it was Bellerin,
and
I'm fairly sure it was
Bellerin. But basically they said that the biggest difference between the two managers is how they prepare for games. So he said that Wenger tends to focus on what his team can do. So he would tell his players, this is what you're good at, go do this, you know, go attack, because that's what he was all about. Like, I want to play an attacking style of football. And what Emery tends to do a lot more is focus on the opposition and how we can counteract the opposition. And also learning about the opposition so that you're aware of what they're going to be like on the pitch.
That's actually that's very smart. Customizing yourself to the teams.
Exactly. And this was something that we all talked about with Wenger too, that he had such a big ego that he was like, I can play attacking football against anyone, and he would constantly get beat by the bigger teams. But there's no shame in learning about
the opposition. And how he always kept the same style.
Yeah, same style every single game. Like, there's no anything. Guardiola's biggest strength is being able to analyze different teams and setting up his teams in a different formation to counteract the way that your team plays. Like, he did it against Liverpool at Anfield, best example. So that's something that Emery's brought in, which was not there under Wenger, which is really interesting to learn about, like, from a player's perspective.
Plus, he's bringing out the actual, like, the best out of Aubameyang. Like, he's been more consistent. Even Lacazette's been doing a bit better, at least, as well. So, like, he's bringing a lot of, like, I guess the quality out of the players that he has. Exactly. That is there. It's just, it was kind of
the confidence. Hidden. They all just seem to have much more confidence than they did last season.
And the important thing is they're running at players now. You see people taking the ball and charging forward in possession with it.
Yeah, and I think that comes from confidence too, which they didn't have last year for whatever reason. I mean, many reasons. They were losing games, so I mean, when you keep losing games like that, you just start to believe that you're a terrible player or you're a terrible team. Like, so obviously you lose your confidence.
Even going back to today's game, after Bellerin's own goal, in past years he would have shut off and he'd be crap all game, but he gave two assists today, even despite the fact that he got that own goal. So there's something in, like, the manager is behind that. Probably at halftime he tells him, forget it, mate, just go there, play your game. There's chances here, there's space on the flanks, you can take them over. Like, just the whole confidence thing also comes from the manager, which I feel Emery has a better sense of his players than Wenger.
And another major thing that I picked up immediately in preseason when I watched them, like, because their first games of Emery era, was how much they press. Wenger teams did not press. They did not press. They press so much. They press almost as high as City press. And it's not really something that was mentioned when you talk about Arsenal. But it's a big part of how they play now. So and it was actually criticized earlier. But sorry, go on, Tristan.
I was going to say, what I've noticed with Emery is very tactical mindset, in the sense that every third of the field he almost has a plan for the players to do, kind of thing as well. So when it's like the ending third, very high press like you mentioned, and then he like has another plan for the mid third and everything. Like, he's very, everything's kind of like preset and designed as well, which is working well for them clearly.
And it's just, apart from the tactics, he just seems like a much more energetic figure on the touchline too, like always shouting.
Yeah, that's one thing I noticed as well. Like,
and that can make such a big difference, man.
Like, when you see Guardiola and Klopp on the sidelines just yelling their hearts out.
I know, right? Like, when you're in the heat of the moment in a game, you're not going to be able to register a complex tactic, but you're going to be able to register if your manager's yelling the fuck at you, you know? Like, get over there, run. So that's a big part of it. Even though it's not mentioned, like, too much.
Also, one more thing is, Emery brings his subs on very early into the second half, whereas Wenger used to bring his subs on very late into the game.
Yeah, he would bring up someone's, like, the 85th minute.
Like, today it wasn't necessary, but Aubameyang came in 64th, somewhere there, 60th minute. But with Wenger, those players would come in, say, 78, 79, where they wouldn't have time to really do anything. Which I feel Wenger was doing like later years. Like, we saw substitutions come late into games where
Arsenal fans complained about it all the time. They're like, bro, like, why this is he guy not does not on put subs. On subs. It's like,
and if anything, they put on Giroud for like a target man, which is doing nothing.
I mean, it works, but obviously I know what you're talking about. So there's so many shifts already. like, it's an interesting thing because they still play the same style of football. It's still attacking on the ground.
It's still
they
silky, haven't changed silky that play, philosophy at
all.
Yeah.
Exactly. They haven't changed that central philosophy at all. But changes like the ones we talked about make, like, the entire difference in the world. Even if you don't sign any new players, it's all about how those players know what they're doing. And if you know what the opposition's going to do before you step on the field, that just gives you confidence already. So, like, things like that behind the scenes can make such a big difference, which I think Emery has done.
Another point about Wenger was he trusts his players too much. The sense of comfort. I feel like that isn't there.
Yeah.
You trust Emery. Him too much.
Like
he's like, yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, you're fine.
You should have known those bastards suck sometimes.
Yeah. Literally.
But I feel like Emery's more open to experimenting with his team.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's benched some players that Wenger would have never touched.
Oh, yeah.
He would have never touched.
100%.
Like, Aubameyang on the bench never would have happened under Wenger.
No, yeah.
But, yeah.
And I think that goes back to, you know, preparation for the opposition, like playing different players who are at your disposal against different teams of varying, you know, styles. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's true, because sometimes your best player isn't necessarily the one that's suited for the other team, especially with their playing style. So if you have the options, why not switch them up and use them?
And again, like benching Ozil, he's done that a bunch of times this year, which Wenger wouldn't have
done. Good news, Ozil sucks.
He played Ozil in every game.
Oh, yeah.
Every time Ozil got criticized, not an issue.
See Ozil back on top form. Like, consistently.
Oh, it's so good to see.
It'd be nice. I remember the days with Real Madrid, and he was so good.
Yeah, he was back on it today, man. I hope he stays this way. It was so beautiful to watch.
Well, I don't hope he's back on it too much, because they're right with Chelsea, so. Just enough to get them, like, behind Chelsea in the standings. That is the amount of on it I would want him to be.
Just a little bit on it, not too much.
Just a little bit on it. I mean, if everyone else is doing poorly, then he can be really on it, but it's got to be relative.
Okay. All right, Tristan. But yeah, that's just about what I wanted to cover for Deep Dive.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's interesting. We'll have to see in the coming weeks.
Yeah, also it's really early.
But so far, so good. I mean, I don't think Arsenal fans expected this when Emery took over. And neither were we, to be honest.
2 points off the top of the table.
Yeah.
I mean, the top of the table is so cramped anyway. 23, 23, 23, 21, 21. And then you have, like, United down here. Like, but, yeah, that was our deep dive segment into Arsenal.
Actually, just something I want to add. Anyone who's listening, if you want to let us know specific deep dive topics you'd like us to cover, best way to probably get to us is just go on the YouTube videos and comment on there, and then we definitely do one of those for sure for any episode. Yeah. So let us know if there's anything you want to do specifically or anything like that. It helps us too, because sometimes we don't have to think of a topic.
Yeah, exactly.
And
usually every week it's pretty self-explanatory. This week we had to think about it a bit.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's it for our topics this week. Does anyone else want to talk about something? We're only at 53.
No, I mean, we can leave the awards to another time. We do awards another episode. And
Maybe Champions League awards, something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, no golden dude, no disgrace.
I mean, we can if you want.
I mean... The disgrace would go to that manager from Chelsea, the assistant coach, I guess.
Whoa.
Yeah, fucking guy.
And I guess golden so dude quick. Would go for.
Well, hold Ozil. On, Trigger.
Okay, wait. We gotta get Tristan to say the name though.
Yo, beep it out. Beep it
out. All right. So Gary Neville's biggest disgrace of the week goes to Michael Lanini.
Lanini.
Right. All right, and the golden dude of the week. Our resident house golden dude. Who were you going to say?
Mesut Ozil.
Yeah?
Has to be.
Yeah, has to be.
Has to be.
He controlled the game.
Such a good performance.
Top to bottom.
Vintage Ozil, man. Vintage Ozil, vintage Arsenal.
Too good.
So nice to see.
Too good.
That's why I wore this sweater today.
You know what? That's fair. I'm good with giving an Ozil. I mean, the only awards any Arsenal players or the team has won has always been our biggest disgrace. For the first time ever,
it's reversed. Arsenal's not the disgrace.
You will now see an Arsenal player win Golden Dude. But yeah,
of the week.
Of the week. Yeah, so congratulations to Mesut Ozil. You can come pick up this award. Just come on in our show as a guest at one point. We'll send you a plaque or something. I think that's fair.
Very nice.
All right. So great. That wraps up basically this episode 31.
That's Football Mezzanine episode 31 for you.
Thank you all for listening and or watching, depending on the platform that you are on. If you do like these, please go to our YouTube channel and hit that subscribe and like button. We do appreciate those. Show us a bit of love if you're on the other platforms. And also, if you're on the other platforms or any of them, thank you again for listening. We do appreciate everything. And other than that, I think that is it.
Yes, yeah. Sir.
Again, if you think we're a hidden gem that just needs to get out there, get us out there, you know.
Please
subscribe, like, share,
please
comment, and let us know. So yeah, thanks for listening. I'm Ange.
Okay, well then I'm Tristan.
Those are
Tree Crest. Yeah.
Okay.
And you're listening to and or watching Football Mezzanine. Thanks again. Peace out, everyone. Signing off.